The Explanation of Surah Luqman, presented by Yahya Ibrahim.
Part 2.
But the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us a lesson. He says to him, I enjoy listening to it from other than myself. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In another hadith, we know that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat outside the home of one of the Sahaba.
We were mentioning that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in another case, he was reading the Qur'an in his home. And as the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking by, he could hear from inside the home, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reciting the Qur'an. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat outside the home of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud listening to the Qur'an. And he tells him, if you had seen me sitting and listening to you, meaning how much of an enjoyment it was for me to listen to you reciting the Qur'an. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and in another riwayah, some have stated that it was Ubay ibn Ka'b, stated, I would have made it habbartahu. I would have perfected it even more for you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This great sahabi, when he recited these ayat, he said, making an oath by Allah, wallahi, the murad, the intended meaning of these ayat, these verses were revealed for music. That the idle talk, lahwa al-hadith, huwa al-ghina. These are the words of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu wa arda'ah. And this can be understood from the ayah. In one side, in the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, there are men who listen and who propagate types of talk, types of sounds, words, things. لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, to bring people away from the path of Allah. A person can take you off the path of Allah intentionally or what? Unintentionally. It doesn't mean that they are intending to bring you off Islam. People become confused. They say, but he's not trying to make me not Muslim. That isn't what it means. What it means is that the cause of this and what is built upon it is that the person begins to stray from the religion of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if that wasn't the intention of the singer or the one who's singing. Because you have people, for example, singers in Egypt, in Ramadan, mashaAllah, تعمل مائدة. مائدة الرحمن. She brings out food in a big, populated, impoverished, poor poverty, area of poverty. And she says, this is hadiyya. This is a gift from those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Rahman. As if trying to make an atonement. Musicians, singers, dancers, ra'asa. تعمل مائدة الرحمن والناس تأكل ما شاء الله. Not that that's haram. But they take people off the path of Allah, and you ask her and you see the broadcast, and she says, أنا بقدم خدمة اجتماعية. I'm putting forth with my dancing, with my music, something that makes society better. I'm doing something that's good for society. لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, even if they don't intend to take people from Allah. You think it's any coincidence that the new shows, the new tamsiliyat, the new masrahiyat enter, the peak season is in the month of Ramadan in all of the Arab countries? No coincidence. In fact, not just in the month of Ramadan in our Arab countries, but now on the ART. You know the satellite channel? When do the new movies come? When do the new shows come? In Ramadan. Why? لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, without knowledge. وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزْوًا. He takes it as something that is light, something that is mockery, the verses of Allah. Then on the other side, Allah mentions in the next ayah, وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا. Then when our verses are recited, when the Qur'an is recited, when the Sunnah of Muhammad ﷺ is recited, وَلَّا مُسْتَكْبِرًا. They become arrogant. كَأَنْ لَمْ يَسْمَعْهَا As if he hasn't heard it. كَأَنَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَقَرَى As if he's deaf. And this is an attribute of those who have النفاق. Selective hearing. They hear what they want, and they ignore what they want. They do what they wish, and they leave off what they wish. These people, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Give them the promise of a tormenting punishment. يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن القيم رحمة الله عليه He says لا يجتمع كلام الرحمن وكلام الشيطان في جوف امرئ واحد Never في جوف رجل واحد Never will the words of الرحمن the words of Allah the words of the Quran the Sunnah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم be entered into the heart of a person except at the same time that the words of the shaitan must be pushed out. You cannot find them together. You can't find someone, and I'm not talking about just memorizing. When the words of Ar-Rahman enter the heart, it's not just a person memorized the Quran. For example, you have the Mufti of Egypt. He says, when I want to relax, I listen to what? Umm Kulthum. بتنعنشني. She gives me a great deal of enjoyment. I relax. I unwind. La, this is not the intended meaning of the words of Allah in the heart. It's not memorizing. It's not just ilm, but it's acting upon it. So never will a person memorize the Quran and act upon it. And this is why the Rasul ﷺ said, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَمِلَ بِهِ The one who learns the Qur'an and acts according to it, then he is given this reward. And his parents are given this reward. It's not just ta'allam. Learn and act. Never will the words of Allah enter the heart of a person, and the person memorizes and acts upon it, and have at the same time the words of the shaitan, meaning music and idle talk in the same heart. Impossible. Muhal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed an individual to have two conflicting desires that are opposite to one another. But it is the opposite of one another that they can coexist in harmony. Muhal, impossible. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, after mentioning that there is punishment, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ You will notice, in the majority of the places in the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the fire or promises punishment, that is immediately followed or it could have been preceded before it, the ayah before it, with a mention of rahmah or jannah. So therefore then the next ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ النَّعِيمِ Those who believe, And those who do righteous deeds. آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. Now we come into discussions of Iman. What is Iman? We know that Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith of Jibreel, تؤمن بالله وملائكته. You believe in Allah, His angels, His books. You believe in the messengers, الرسل. You believe in اليوم الآخر, the day of judgment, that all of us shall die. And you believe in القدر. Predestiny, predestination, preordainment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions Iman as being, in many places, that you believe. What is Iman? How do you become Muslim? How do you believe? What are the three things that a person believes with, that you show your belief with? What is the number one? The tongue, tayyib, al-lisan. What else? Al-qalb. You believe in your heart. What else? Al-jawarih wal-arkan, the actions in the limbs. This brings us to an important issue. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us that we are to enter into Islam with a statement. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. With this statement we can then begin and we believe in Allah. This statement, this word, Is it just something, as the brothers, we were talking right after Salatul Isha. The brothers were asking questions about Islam and Iman. Can someone be a believer if he doesn't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? These type of questions. So we said to the brothers, the belief in Allah, the shahada of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, what does it entail that a person, the brother mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the hadith Qudsi that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that if you come to Allah with mountains of sin, لم تشرك بي شيء, but you didn't take partners in worship with me, I will forgive it for you. The brother saying, there's no mention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore now it's important to lay the foundation. This kalima, La ilaha illallah, it is two parts. What are the two parts? What is the first part? La ilah. What is that? That is negation, nafi. You're saying we don't believe in all of these other things. Taghut, anything worshipped other than Allah. Shaytan, Christianity, Isa, anything other than Allah. We say it is not our God. Illa Allah. They are not gods that are worthy of worship. Who is worthy of worship? Allah. You are affirming. Nafyun wa isbat. This kalima has seven conditions. Seven shurut. You can't just believe and you can't just say with your tongue, La ilaha illallah. And then your heart doesn't believe it. Nifaq. Hypocrisy. You have something in your heart contrary to what's on your tongue. Same with your deeds, same with your actions. So what are these seven conditions? Al-ilm. First. The first thing that you begin to be Muslim with, and this is, I'm not telling you because you don't know them, but because you as Muslims are required to teach it to others, especially your children. Ilm. فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Know, Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah. Order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ The one who dies knowing, يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ The one who dies, knowing with knowledge that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah, he enters Jannah. But we can't just take this one condition. We must look to the next shart. Ilm, and then what? Can you just have knowledge? You must also have yaqeen. You must be certain that what you believe in is truth. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَرْتَابُوا They are those who believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger and then do not doubt it. You know something doesn't mean you believe it with certainty. لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا You can't have any raib or any other belief that is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So al-yaqeen, certainty, satisfaction with Allah and His Messenger. What else? Ikhlas. You can't just say La ilaha illallah, know and be certain. And then at the same time, you are not sincere to Allah. In your prayer, you are mura'i. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا They stand up for prayer for the benefit of people watching them. And they don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except few words. Except few words. So therefore this riya is something that you cannot have along with your true unwavering faith in Allah azza wa jal. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ We were only ordered to worship Allah with ikhlas of religion, totally the deen to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first is ilm, knowledge of Allah, knowledge of Muhammad, and certainty. You don't just know, but you're certain about Allah, certain about His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you believe in them with ikhlas. All that you do in ibadah is for them. And therefore you see the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاعَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The happiest person, who shall be given my shafa'ah, my intercession. I'm going to talk on his behalf on the day of judgment. مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُخْلِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ Is the one who said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ
with ikhlas, sincerity from his heart. So that's a part of iman. Number four, as-sidq, honesty. You have to be honest in your faith. You have to be honest in your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your faith. And therefore those who say with their tongue that which their hearts do not do are not honest. يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ They say with their tongues, مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ What is not found in their hearts. So that negates the foundation of the shahada of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So there's knowledge, there's certainty, there's ikhlas, there's sidq, honesty, and there is qabool, acceptance. You must accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe, you have knowledge, you're certain, you're satisfied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you accepted? Have you accepted what Allah has ordered? This is something that is a major issue. The person says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But then they say, Allah says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. And they what? Walla mustakbirun ka'annam yasma'ha. He turns away as if he has not heard it. Ka'anna fi udhunayhi waqara. As if in his ears they're deaf. Fabashirhu bi'adabin aleem. And therefore we see that the mushrikeen, innahum kanu idha qila lahum, La ilaha illallah yastakbirun. The disbelievers, when it's said to them something simple, say, La ilaha illallah, yastakbirun. They're arrogant. How can I say this? How can I accept this? This word. Not because it's just a mere sentence, because they knew by saying La ilaha illallah, they must accept what La ilaha illallah calls to. No more shirk, no more alcohol, no more riba. You must accept. Number six, Al-inqiyad. You can accept and you can say, yes, I accept that hijab is wajib. I accept. But you don't submit. And therefore number six is al-inqiyad, submission. You accept and then you act upon what you have accepted. You say, sam'an wa ta'a. I hear and I obey. So that is extremely important. And number seven, love al-mahabba. You do all of the above. You have knowledge, you have certainty, you're satisfied, you accept, you're honest in your faith. You do all of these things wholeheartedly with love of the worship of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's implementation of His Sunnah. Muhibban. Out of love. Not out of being upset, forced. Why must I pray? Why must I do? Kalla. You submit yourself wholeheartedly to the words of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Those who believe. So now we know seven conditions of the shahada of La ilaha illallah. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ And do righteous deeds. Meaning they worship Allah. What are the two shurut of ibadah? What are two things you must do for ibadah to be accepted? إخلاص. That the ibadah you do is only for Allah. What is the second? Huh? Mukhlisan sawaba. What is the sawab? What is the correct way of doing things? Sunnah. Wallahi ya ikhwan, you come to this masjid, and you fill this masjid with ikhlas, and mashaAllah, you're in prayer, and you're doing it in a way other than the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you're celebrating something that is other than the sunnah, you come and make the celebration of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just say, Miladun Nabi. And everyone is humble and they all love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by tongue. And they're all sincere. But it's not sunnah. Is it accepted? Answer, Ajibu, La. Why? It's not just sufficient to be mukhlis. Can't just be sincere. It must also be in accordance to the sunnah, the hadith, the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because the first verse, Hudan wa Rahmah. Allah gave you this Islam in the words of the Quran and the activities of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a guide, Hudan wa Rahmah.
and mercy to you. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ النَّعِيمِ. They will be given gardens of delight. الجنة يا إخوان, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from our aqeedah, the aqeedah of Ahl al-Sunnah, the Jannah is already created. It is already created. It was seen by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it on the day of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. So we know it's there. Also, we know that the Jannah is inhabited. Right now, the Jannah, there are people in it. Who are these people? Are they people who lived on the worldly life? La. No one has entered Jannah from the dunya with their body and the ruh. Who has entered the Jannah? There are angels, there are al-hurur'een, there are al-wuldan al-mukhalladun, there are those who are created for Jannah. The shuhada, ahya, they're living. They are in the Jannah. How? Are they in body and ruh? La. Those who are going to enter Jannah in their qabr, they enter Jannah. Do they enter Jannah with their body? La. They enter with what? Ar-ruh. This is our aqeedah, the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding Al-Jannah. Who will be the first to enter Jannah al-Na'im? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu fuqara'u al-Ummah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who were poor in the worldly life, but high and rich in their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. I will be the first to enter Jannah. Meaning, first to enter Jannah with my body and my soul after the day of judgment. So this is our belief regarding Al-Jannah. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. This is the next verse, verse number 9, that the people shall enter Jannah living in it forever, eternally. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. It is a true promise from Allah. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And Allah is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you on this worldly life and He has given you the Qur'an, the Sunnah, you recognize Tawheed, you recognize Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was said to you, you do this, you get Jannah. Promise. And we know it's a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He promises, He fulfills the promise. When you enter Jannah, as Allah tells us in Surah Az-Zumur, the first thing you will do, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهِ. Soon as you set foot in Al-Jannah, the first thing you say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, why? You've been saved from what? The fire, which you will enter. All of us shall enter the fire in different ways and different capacity. وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. None of you shall escape it. All of you shall enter. How do we enter? The scholars give two interpretations. The first is that we will cross over the sirat and look down and see the people in the fire. The second, which is also authentic, narrated in the books of Imam al-Bukhari through the words of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and through the words of Aisha radiallahu anha, that we enter the fire, and those who have taqwa shall be like Ibrahim in the dunya. You're in the fire, but you don't feel its heat. You don't feel its pain. You don't feel its torment. Yet you enter it. So you say when you enter Jannah, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ, who has kept His promise to us. There are people who will enter Jannah after being punished. The Rasul ﷺ in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, he says, there will be people who will enter the Jannah, half of their body is muntahish, is something that has been burnt to a crisp. Half the body is burnt to a crisp, the other half of the body is fine. And they say, who are these, Ya Rasulullah? قال الجهنميون. They are those who were taken out of Jahannam, the Muslims, through the shafa'ah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were in the fire, they were burnt, they were brought to punishment. And they enter Jannah later on. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the last person. The last person to enter Al-Jannah, as is in the hadith of Abi Hurairah in Sahih Muslim. A man who shall be taken out of the fire.
يَمْشِي تَارَةً. He's walking to escape the fire a bit. وَيَحْبُ تَارَةً. And then he's overcome and he crawls away from it another time. And Allah shall say to this person, the last man to exit the fire, what is it that you want? And Allah and the person, he shall be in between the Jannah and the fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall put a tree in front of him. فَيَحْبُ إِلَيْهَا. He shall crawl to it. فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَقُولْ لَهُ هَلْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَزِيدَكَ. Do you want anything else? The person shall remember the fire and say, this is enough. خَلَاص. خَرَجْتُ مِنَ النَّارِ. I'm in the shade of a tree. Hasn't yet seen what? Al-Jannah. So then Allah يَنْبُتْ لَهُ شَجَرَةً. Another tree that's bigger. At a more distance. At a further distance. فَيَحْبُ إِلَيْهَا. So he shall crawl to that next tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall say, did you not say you do not want anything else? Didn't you say this is enough? فَيَعَذُرَهُ رَبُّهُ. But Allah shall give him an excuse. Shall say, خلاص, stay in this next tree. And then Allah shall plant another tree. He's a person, Bani Adam, tamaa. Sees the next tree and he says, I'm gonna go to it. Yahbu, crawls. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall say to this person, what do you want? What is it that you need? فَيَسْمَعُ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. He will hear the people in Jannah. And he shall say, I want to be with them. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ لَهُ أُدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. خَلَاص. ادخل الجنة. Go and see. فَيَظُنُّ أَنَّهَا مَلْأَةٌ. He looks through the gates of Al-Jannah and thinks it's completely full. فَيَرْجِعُ فَيَقُولُ يَا رَبِّ كَيْفَ أَدْخُلُ وَقَدْ أَخَذَ النَّاسُ أَخَذَاتِهِمْ وَنَزَلُوا مَنَازِلَهُمْ. How can I enter when Allah makes it seem to the person that everything's taken? Not a house, nothing, not a piece of dirt in the Jannah is left. So Allah shall say to him, Ya Abdi, Atarda, are you pleased? And listen to the word of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Never in the dunya does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us. He always orders. Sah? أقيم الصلاة. He doesn't say, please pray. Orders from Allah. In the Akhirah, you will not find a single ayah, a single hadith, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does anything but ask the believers what they want. In the dunya, you say, Ya Rabb, give me. In the Akhirah, Allah says, Ya Abdi, what do you want? Subhanallah. خلاص, no need to ask. So the abd, he turns to Allah. Allah says, Ya abdi, atarda, would you be pleased? أن يكون لك ملك, ملك من ملوك الدنيا. Would you be happy if I gave you the kingdom of a king from the kings of your earth, your world? فيقول بلى. That's enough. King. فيقول الله له, لَكَ ذَلِكَ. I give you this kingdom. وَمِثْلَهُ 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 وَمِثْلَهُ. فَيَقُولُ فِي الْخَامِسَ. الْعَبْدُ يَقُولُ فِي الْخَامِسَ. رَضِيْتُ يَا رَبِّ. Allah shall say, you're given this kingdom. Over and over and over and over. And on the fifth multiplication, five kingdoms of a king of the earth, the person himself shall say, يَا رَبِّ, that's enough. فيقول الله له لك كل ذلك وعشر أمثاله. You are given these five kingdoms and multiply it 10 times. 50 times the kingdom of a king who ruled this earth. فيقول العبد رضيت يا رب. That's enough. Jannah. You get Jannah. For the 5 minutes you wake up before Fajr. Jannah. Eternally.
for the rest of your life, ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human being's heart can even comprehend or imagine. For those who do what? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believe and do righteous deeds, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ النَّعِيمِ. For them shall be gardens of delight. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Living in it forever. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. It is a promise that Allah will fulfill for them. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزِ. And He's the Almighty. وهو العزيز الحكيم. He's the Almighty, the All-Wise. Why this word حكيم? يقول ابن كثير, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is حكيم in choosing who will enter His Jannah. Allah's mighty can give Jannah to everyone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is حكيم in knowing who's deserving of Jannah. هو الحكيم. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins a sequence of ayat, which we will recite to you and their translation and begin further explanation and their development, insha'Allah, tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be discussing with you the role that human beings have been given in the earth. We are khulafa. We are those who have been given the earth inheritance one after another. Khilafa. Of the earth. We're going to explain what that means. And the ayat describing it. And we have been given the earth as taskhir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the earth that we are in control over it. And i'timar, that we inhabit the earth. Three different levels of living on this earth. And three different ways that we will be responsible for the earth. La tufsidu fil ard. Do not cause mischief to the earth. So we will show the importance of understanding why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this dunya and gave us signs around us. Allah says, verse number 10, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ. If that was it, it's enough. Allah created the heavens. بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens without pillars or supports that you see with your eyes. وَأَلْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَن تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ. And He has placed on the earth mountains that are firm, lest the earth should shake with you. And we'll describe some of this, since I'm a geochemist by training, some of the geological attributes. I give you one ayah. وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً. Allah says in Surah An-Naml, you look to the mountain, you think it's solid. وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. But these mountains are moving like clouds. صُنْعَ اللَّهِ. The creation of Allah, الَّذِي أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Who perfected everything. Until 1950, people did not know how mountains emerged. People did not know that the earth is spreading further apart. Every year, North America gets further from South America, and Africa moves further from South America. India moves further into Asia, building the Himalayas. No one knew that plate tectonics existed, that the mountains we see are moving. ترى الجبال تحسبها جامدة. See the mountains, you think they're solid, firm, but they move the movements of the clouds. صُنْعَ اللَّهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you see the mountains that He has placed firm so that earth doesn't shake. Guess where earthquakes happen? Fault lines. There's different plates on the earth. The plates will make them look like our hands. Some parts of the earth move forward while the other moves downward. This is called the transform fault. Once this slips, earthquake. Once mountains slip, one side of the continent goes up, the other goes down, forced down. You get volcanoes. This is the volcano.
the earth begins to shake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more mountain... Have you ever heard of earthquakes in the Himalayas? Never. Where there are mountains that are solid, you do not find earthquakes. In the areas where mountains begin to emerge, there are earthquakes. That's where they begin. But at the section where there are mountains, you do not find them. So it doesn't tamida bikum, so it won't shake with you. وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ. And He has scattered throughout the earth living creatures of all kinds. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And we brought down to you from the sky, مَاءً, water. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ كَرِيمٍ. We brought down from the heavens water, rain from the sky. And we caused plants of every goodly kind to grow therein. هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. This is the creation of Allah. فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِي. Show me what the others who you worship other than Allah have created. Even the mushrikeen, they know there is Allah. They know there is this one supreme being. They never say that their God, their idol, their Vishnu or whatever they're worshipping, the cow. They don't say the cow that they take its urine and put on their body created the heavens and the earth. They say, no, it's the supreme being. But we worship these because it takes us to Him. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ. What have those whom you worship other than Him created? بَلِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Surely those who are wrongdoers, ظالمون, oppressors, who make shirk, who disbelieve, who sin, they are in plain error. Anyone intelligent can see they're wrong. So therefore we will come to these ayat and we will discuss the role that the environment plays in Islam. And this is important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us that the deeds we perform on the earth affect the water that comes down. Nuh, what does he say to his people? That if you fear Allah, yursil sama'a alaykum midrara. Just worship Allah and you will see the heavens opening and the rain falling. The things we do on the earth affect what we see around us. The fasad, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. The mischief on the earth and in the seas becomes apparent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes us in the worldly existence we live in. So these will be important discussions around the environment. The next part, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We have given Luqman hikmah. We will discuss what is wisdom. What is wisdom? What is true understanding? What is intellect? What is wisdom that was given to Luqman who wasn't a prophet, who wasn't a messenger? What was the wisdom given to him? And what was this wisdom that he gave to his children, specifically his one son? These are the words we leave you with. We have just a few questions. The Jews had more prophets sent to them because they were transgressors. Does it make us Muslims privileged because we only had one prophet sent to us? And will all Muslims enter Jannah? It's a beautiful question. This is an important question. First, the Jews were given many prophets because they were rebellious. Here you have Musa alayhi salam. أخرجهم من فرعون. Takes them away from Fir'aun and from Egypt. He comes to the sea, hits it with the stick, the sea opens bi'idhnillah. They walk through, Fir'aun comes and Allah drowns him, and his nation, and his enemies, and his soldiers. You would think that these people would say, هذا نبي. Yet they come, he takes them لطور سيناء, the mountain of سيناء, and he leaves them only 40 days, with his brother who's also a prophet. With Harun. Yet they go beyond all bounds and they build a golden cow to worship. They were such a rebellious people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left them أَرْبِعُونَ عَامًا يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. 40 years being in a state of loss, not knowing their way to the land that they were promised. They were promised it.
for being good upon Islam. Once they are no longer Muslim, is that land theirs? La. Istikhlaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave it to those who deserved it. The people of Tawheed. So therefore, it's not a land claim by time, or we were ahead of you 2,000 years. La. It is a land claim beyond about religion. And this is what their own Prime Minister acknowledges. In 1940, their Prime Minister, he stands up in the UN and he says, we know that we have no political or historical claim to the land of Palestine. He called it what? Philistine. But we have a religious claim. Therefore, the division isn't about land. It's not about property. It's about a deen. And once the Muslims recognize that it is harbu i'tiqad wa deen, we are given victory. Wa antum al-a'laun in kuntum mu'mineen. So the Muslim ummah is honored that we were given only one prophet. Why? Because this one prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equals all of the other prophets in the da'wah. What all of them called to, he called to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was given the perfect huda and the perfect rahmah. The perfect dictates that give us true guidance, that in it are mercy. Al-Qur'an and his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we are honored above all of the other nations. And that's why the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will have iftikhar. I will be honored by you on the day of judgment. And this is why, in the authentic hadith, we see the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to cry. He sat alone, and he began to cry sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَقُولُ أُمَّتِي أُمَّتِي. My ummah, my ummah. So Allah says, Ya Jibreel, inzil ala Muhammad, descend to Muhammad, فَاسْأَلْهُ مَا يُفْكِيهِ. Ask him, وَهُوَ أَعْلَمْ. Ask him, why you are crying, Ya Rasulullah? And Allah knows already. فَجِبْرِيلْ يَنْزِلْ وَيَقُولْ Ya Rasulullah, Allah ordered me to come down and ask you, مَا يُبْكِي? Why are you crying? فَيَقُولُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ أُمَّتِي أُمَّتِي. I am afraid for my ummah, my ummah. So Jibreel ascends to Allah. And Allah tells Jibreel, go back down to Muhammad وَقُلْ لَهُ Inna sanurdiqa fi ummatik. We're gonna give you pleasure in your ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that the ummah and all of the khayr in it, kama yaqul ibn al-Athir, all of the goodness that we have in this ummah is for what purpose? To please Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Makana, Muhammad is the most beloved of Allah azza wa jalla. All of the salah, all of the goodness in the ummah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so that it will be a pleasure to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. When all of the nations, all of the people, they shall go to Nuh. Ya Nuh, ishfa' lana inda rabbik. The hadith of shafa'ah inda al-imam al-Bukhari from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Make shafa'ah to Allah for us. He shall say, اذهبوا إلى غيري. Go to other than me. I committed this sin on this or this day. So they go to Ibrahim. يا أبو الأنبياء, اشفع لنا عند ربك. Make شفاعة for us. Ibrahim shall say, go to other than me. ويذكر ذنبا. موسى, اشفع لنا. اذهبوا إلى غيري. عيسى, اشفع لنا. اذهبوا إلى غيري. They come to Isa and he says, اذهبوا إلى محمد. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the nations, فَتَأْتِي الْأُمَمْ. The nations come to me, فَيَقُولُونَ اِشْفَعْ لَنَا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ فَأَقُولُ أَنَا لَهَا. I am the one you should ask for this. فَأَسْجُدُ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ. I shall fall in sujood in front of Allah. فَيُعَلِّمُنِي مَحَامِدْ أَحْمَدَهُ بِهَا. He shall teach me, Allah, certain dua to make. لَمْ يَحْمَدْهُ بِهَا أَحَدٌ قَبْلِي. None has ever made the same dua to Allah before. Given to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly from Allah. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ يَا مُحَمَّدُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ.
ارفع رأسك. Raise your head now. وسل تعطى. Ask and you will be given. واشفع تشفع. Make intercession and your intercession is accepted. Guess who the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede with? We already mentioned to you. أسعد الناس بشفاعتي من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا من قلبه. The one who is going to receive the greatest joy on the Day of Judgment and my shafa'a is the one who says La ilaha illallah with sincerity from his heart. So therefore we are happy that we have been given Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the only messenger, for he is the only one that was needed. As for the second part, will all Muslims enter Jannah? Anyone who says La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, from his heart, and it's because he believes in it and has knowledge of it. It's not just a word he says. And he fulfills the requirements. Anyone who believes in Allah, truly believes, even وَإِن دَنَا وَسَرَقْ, even if he commits fornication, even if he's a thief, shall enter Jannah eventually. Do you want to be مِنَ الْجُهَنَّمِيُّونَ? Do you want to have half of your body burnt to a crisp? How long do you want to stay in the fire? It's not your choice. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for you. Everyone shall eventually enter Jannah. Those who believe in Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how long will you remain in the fire beforehand? Will Allah pardon your sins and forgive you? What is the issue? It is all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you want to take the chance? La. I leave you with a final hadith that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة. All of my ummah shall enter paradise. إلا من أبى, except the one who refuses himself, the one who says no, I don't want to go. ومن يأبى يا رسول الله, who's going to refuse himself? The Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من أطاعني, the one who obeys me. He didn't say من أطاع الله. He said no, the one who obeys me. دخل الجنة, shall enter paradise. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي, the one who disobeys me, فَقَدْ أَبَى, has refused himself admittance to the Jannah. Therefore the key is the obedience of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.